We're going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 32 to start with. But before I read these verses, just to give you the context, Moses has led the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They've come through 40 years of testing in the wilderness because of their rebellion and their disobedience. God took them through the wilderness, and they've come right to the border now of the promised land. They're about to enter Canaan, the promised land, and take possession of the things that God has for them to take possession of. And Moses is recounting to them all that they've gone through and what they need to be prepared for in the days ahead, in the land that they were entering, and certain attitudes that needed to be present in them if they were going to lay a hold of the land. And reminding them, really, not only of the good times in the wilderness, but the things that they'd done wrong as well. And we're just going to read from verse 32 to start with. Indeed, ask now concerning the former days which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and inquire from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything been done like this great thing, or has anything been heard like it? Has any people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire, as you have heard it and survived? Or has a God tried to go to take for himself a nation from within another nation? By trials, by signs and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, he is God, there is no other besides him. Out of the heavens he let you hear his voice, to discipline you, and on earth he let you see his great fire, and you heard his word from the midst of the fire. Because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, and he personally brought you from Egypt by his great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord he is God in heaven above, and on the earth below there is no other. So you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am commanding you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then to chapter 9. First few verses. First three verses to start with, then perhaps verse 6 as well. Hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Great cities fortified to heaven. A people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you. As a consuming fire, he will destroy them and he will subdue them before you, so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly, just as the Lord has spoken to you. And then verse 6, know then it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. And we'll finish there, I think. Well, we find in these first sort of 8 or 9 chapters of Deuteronomy, about 5 times the Lord saying to the people, know this today. Take it to heart. So the Lord was really saying to the people, unless you really know these things and take it to heart, you won't be able to come into the things that I have for you in the land that I'm bringing you into. So the Lord was saying to them, you need to know these things. They're important. And we're not talking about a head knowledge here. We're talking about something in the heart, a relationship knowledge. We'll talk more about that later perhaps. But let's have a look first of all what God wanted his people to know. And I'll say today, the same thing holds true for us today. We have an amazing account here of what God did these many years ago when he took this one little group of people and he made a nation out of them. And we have the evidence before us today out in the Middle East, don't we? There we have the nation of Israel. The very name of that people testifies to the God of Israel. And it's marvelous, you know. I think one of the czars in Russia asked one of his archbishops, whatever they call them, out in the Orthodox Church, now give me some evidence for God. Israel, he said. Israel. The very fact of their presence in the land and their existence today is testimony to the God who goes by the name of the God of Israel. So let's have a look at what God wanted then and what he wants us to know today. We are about to enter a new year. Oh, we are entering a new year. So I'm 2 weeks behind. We have entered a new year. What does God want us to lay a hold of? There are things that he wants us to come into. And we can't come into these things unless we take these things to heart. Unless we know them for certain in our heart. So let's have a look at them. That's chapter 4 that we read first of all. verse 39. Know therefore today and take it to your heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. We need to understand, friends, in this day that our God is not only the champion of heaven, as we saw earlier, he's the king of earth as well. He's the king of the nations. And it's a much lost thought, I think, in the church. We're happy with the notion of God being God of heaven. He can rule up there, but down here, we're in control. And we sort of fall into this error of thinking God isn't involved in the affairs of nations. God is very much involved in the affairs of nations. God is involved in these things, friends. He is ruler of the nations. He rules in this realm on earth, and he rules in the realm of heavens. Yes, he has to allow things. We don't understand sometimes. But God is the one who rules. And we need to understand that. We also need to understand that he has no equals. He has no rivals, in a sense. Yes, there are many enemies he has, but no rivals, no equals. And it said that there in verse 39. There is no other. And that is something we really need to lay a hold of in a day when the enemy is almost running amok in our land. We need to understand that our God has no equals, friends. There's no one who can rival him in power, in majesty, in authority, in his ability to do things that nobody else can. And we need to remember that in an increasing dark day that we live in. And then we're going to major mainly on those verses, but let's have a look at one or two other things that God wanted his people to take to heart. If they were going to lay a hold of things in this new land he was bringing them into. Deuteronomy 9 we read, but let's look at Deuteronomy 7 as well. There were four or five of these, but we'll just quickly go through them. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. We need to understand something of God's character. And Israel had to understand and lay a hold of this. If they were going to go into the promised land and be a bit wishy-washy about the character of God, they would not stand. They'd soon be drawn away after other things. We need to understand something of who our God is and how he deals with us as well. He is perfect. He's a holy God. And he deals with us just absolutely right. And his loving kindness, his faithfulness are things that we need to understand and lay a hold of and take to heart. And then chapter 9 verse 3, we read this as well. Know therefore today that the Lord your God is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. We need to know his purpose for us. If I had a few P's on that, I'm just a little lost there. And the first one was knowing God's position. If you like sort of these things to remember, those verses in chapter 4, was knowing something of God's position, unrivaled, unequaled, position far above all. The second one that we just read from Deuteronomy 7 was we need to know his person, who he is, his character. And then this one here, we need to know something of God's purposes. God's purposes for us and for his people of old were absolutely perfect. There's nothing wrong with what God wants for us. The trouble is, of course, we sometimes fail to enter into those purposes because of who we are and because of our resistance to him. Certainly that was Israel's testimony. That God took them into the land, but they didn't remain there because of their sin and rebellion. But we need to know something of God's purposes and how he actually brings us into them. It isn't that we forge ahead. You know, we've got the new year. We're in the new year now. We're going to forge ahead, do our own thing, and God's going to come behind and sweep all the enemies away. That's not how it works, friends. God goes before us. We need to follow Him. That's the mechanism of which the church should be working by. God goes before us. We seek Him and we follow Him. And He brings us into all the things that He has for us. We get into all kinds of mess when we think we are the ones that should be marching forward. And God just comes alongside and sort of joins us on our merry way. That's not how it works, friends. And Israel had to realize that, and we need to understand that, don't we? We need to take it to heart. Because in taking that to heart, there's a safety. It's a safeguard for us. We're not to do our own thing. Nine verse six as well. There's another no there. No, then it's not because of your righteousness. There's nothing in us that can merit God giving us all His good things, all the purposes He brings us into. It's not because of you or me and how good we are at anything. There's nothing in us to recommend us to God. We are sinners that need saving. And God has wonderfully saved us. If you're His this morning, He has met with you and He saved you. And He wants to bring us into these things. But it's not because of our merit. It's because of His amazing grace and mercy. And I suppose Deuteronomy 8 verse 5. One more just very quickly. Deuteronomy 8 verse 5. We are to know also in your heart. Isn't it interesting? Again and again we read that. Know this in your heart. We've got to get this into your heart. Some of the versions, I think when it says take it out, consider it in your heart. We need to get these things into our hearts so that they affect us. You see, when things are only in our heads, we are easily shaken from the things that we've learned perhaps. And you children, if things are only remain in your head, you're fine when you're in this environment. But as soon as you go out, away from family, away from the security of church, you will be quickly shaken unless these things are in your heart. They have to get into our hearts, friends, because only then that our lives will live out these truths. We're not going to live out these truths that are just up there. We've got to get them so that they affect us. They've got to get into our hearts. We'll look more how that happens later on. So we have all these no's. Know this in your heart. That we need to get a hold of if we're going to come into all that God has for us. And we can't just sort of pick and choose which ones we're going to know. We'll know this one and leave that one. And I thought of a mathematical example. Being a math teacher, I suppose I would. But when you solve a difficult equation, there are four or five different principles you're using to solve that equation. If one of them is missing, if you don't know one of those things, then the whole thing breaks down. And you can't solve what God has given you. You can't do what you need to do for that equation. It's a bit of the same thing here. We need to have a rounded knowledge of God, His purposes, who He is as a person. If we are lacking in one of these areas, then we will fail to come in to certain things. Things will be lacking in us as a body of people, but also in us as individuals. So we need to make sure that none of these is missing. And I really want to sort of major on, I suppose, now why we need to know. Why did Israel need to know these things? Why did Moses stress these things so much? Why do we need to know these things in our day? Well, I've just listed about five or six here. So here we go. First of all, the first thing, so I'm really majoring in Deuteronomy 4 verse 39. We need to understand God's unrivaled position, His unequal position, so that we will fear Him. We will have a right attitude towards Him. The people of Israel soon moved away from that fear of God, that reverence for Him, because they had a wrong idea of who He was. That they didn't take these things to heart. And that soon leads to us wandering away from the things God has for us. We don't have that fear for God. When we don't have a right view of God, we won't have a fear of God. Sadly, so lacking today. Not so much in the land. It's always been lacking in the land. There's a fear of God in the church. And it's because we have a wrong view of who God is. We need to understand who God is. And when we understand who God is, when we really understand He rules in heaven and He rules on the earth, then our whole perspective changes and we see things from God's perspective. We get a right understanding of things that are happening around us. Let's just look at one example of that in Scripture. From Daniel chapter 4, a wonderful story of this King Nebuchadnezzar. You all know it well, I'm sure. But let's just read a few verses. Because Nebuchadnezzar was a man that God got a hold of eventually. But it took some real pain and suffering for him, for God to get a hold of. Because, if you know the story, he had a mind like an animal because he refused to recognize God as the one who rules in the affairs of men. And he became like an animal. And he lived away from his people. Lost his mind, became insane. Until he recognized who God was. And everything changed. Just read verses 34. But at the end of that period, so Nebuchadnezzar is writing here. Isn't it wonderful? In Scripture we have the writings of King Nebuchadnezzar. You won't find them any other places, but we have them in the Bible. Raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. You see, he began to realize God's dominion and rule is everlasting, friends. We might think the powers of darkness have got a hold upon our land today. But God has them on a leash. He has them on a leash. And one day that leash will be drawn in. And they will be dealt with. God's kingdom, friends, is an everlasting kingdom. You can choose to be a part of that kingdom. And know the benefits of that. Or you can choose not to. And the consequences of that are eternal. Because we're talking about eternity here, friends. We're eternal beings. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the hosts of heaven. He doesn't do according to your will, or my will, or the church's will, or Daniel's will, or Nebuchadnezzar's will. He does according to his will. God is ruling in the heavenly hosts, in the heavens. But let's go on. And among the inhabitants of earth, among the nations, God is ruling, friends. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? When God determines that your day is over, it's over, friends. When God determines that you have had your time on earth, he will take your life. He will determine that your life will end. No one can ward that off, friends. We can't ward that day off. That's why we need to be right with him today. At that time, he says, verse 36, my reason returned to me. Friends, if we want to be a reasoning people who reasons according to the purposes and will of God, we have to understand his position and who he is. It was when Nebuchadnezzar realized this that his reason returned. And he started thinking clearly. Our thinking will be totally muddled unless we understand and take to heart who God is in this day. He's not changed. The God that we read of here that Moses was telling Israel about is the same God who rules today. He's no different. And when we understand it, when we take it to heart, our reasoning will be clear. It won't be muddled. Much of the reasoning and the thinking in our church is muddled today. Because we don't understand these things. We won't take them to heart. We believe the lie that the world is giving out. That God is somehow distant up there. And he isn't involved in these things. And we lap up what the world is saying. Instead of being separate from that. And believing what God says about himself. If we only believe what God said about himself. The whole thing would change. Our thinking would become clear. We would reason according to God's reasoning. We will see things clearly. So Nebuchadnezzar saw that. So the first thing we need to do, we need to have that right view of who God is, his position, because then we will reason correctly. We'll have a fear of God. And then secondly, and this comes out in several of these passages. Back to that Deuteronomy 4, if you're still there. What does it say in verse 40 after verse 39? It says there, let's read verse 39 again. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, on the earth below, there is no other. So you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, In fact, if you read the other verses I read earlier, that comes up almost every time after these things are to be known. So God is wanting us to know these things so that we will live in obedience to his word. God is looking in this day for a people who will live according to his word, who will live in righteousness, who will live in obedience. You see, he wanted that for Israel. He wanted Israel to come into the land, to live according to his word, to take these things to heart so that they could. And what a testimony they would have been to the surrounding nations. What a testimony. And who knows what would have happened to the other nations. And it's the same today, friends. Right around the globe where God has his people, he has called us out. He has separated us unto himself so that we can live in obedience. We can live according to his word. Because when we live according to the word of God, when we live in obedience to him, there will be a sharpness about our testimony. There will be something cutting about our lives. Whether in the workplace, in our families, amongst our friends, there'll be something different about us that will speak of God and what he has done. So God is wanting us, as well as Israel of old, to take these things to heart so that we can live according to his word. Not so that we can do as we please. Not so that we can do what we think is right. Friends, we have an instruction manual before us. If you want to live to please God, you've got to live according to this word. It's not out of date. It is as relevant today as it was when it was written, because it was constructed by the hand of God himself, inspired by the Spirit of God. And when we understand that, we understand that this is very relevant for us today. So the second reason we need to know these things in our heart is so that we will live as he wants us to live, so that we can be a testimony for him amongst those around us. And it also goes on to say, I could add to that, when the people of Israel lived according to God's word, God promised them blessing, prosperity. And it's the same for us. If you want to prosper in your life, I'm not talking about material prosperity, although God can give that. But if you want to prosper in your life, you young people, do you want to prosper in your life? Follow the ways of God. Commit your heart to him and follow him. If you do that, your life will prosper. I can guarantee it. When we choose not to live according to God's word, we won't prosper. We won't prosper. But God wants a prospering people that will speak to those around us. And then thirdly, the third reason why we need to take this truth to heart of who God is, his position, is so that we won't fear when we have to face difficulties. You see, the people of Israel were entering a land which was fraught with danger. They were going to have to face battle after battle after battle to lay a hold of things. And you know what? The Christian life is like that, isn't it? If you want to become a Christian because you want an easy life, forget it. This is a battle that we're in, friends. But we don't fight the battle in our own strength, and we don't fight it alone. And Israel had to realize that. If they didn't understand that God was with them and going before them and God was unchallenged in his position, well, they would have feared straight away and just run away. They wouldn't even enter the land. But there was a belief to start with. Unfortunately, that wasn't sustained. and they did fear at times in the land. And that is the opposite of faith, of course. So we need to understand these things so we'll be able to stand in the evil day. We'll be able to face the opposition that we'll come across. Us as a church, as an assembly, increasingly there's opposition in the land to anybody that wants to hold to biblical views. Anybody that wants to hold publicly to them particularly. We've seen it in the press, haven't we? But you know what? We don't need to fear. There's no need to fear. Because we have a God who is unrivaled. A God who is supreme in all his ways. And God is able to do whatever he pleases. We need to understand that. Instead of fearing that, we'll fear God. And that's 30. Fourthly, unless this fits in with what I said earlier from the second one, let's turn to a few verses in Psalms. Psalm 37, 31, first of all. You can just listen if you want. Psalm 37, verse 31, I think it is. The law, this is talking about the righteous man, the law of God is in his heart, his steps do not slip. Friends, if we are to be a people where our steps do not slip, where we are not taken in by deception and error in particular, then we need to take these things to heart. We need to lay a hold of them. We need to take it to heart and know these things for ourselves. It's no good me relying upon the knowledge of the person next to me. I need to know this for myself. If I don't know it for myself, I am in danger. I will be easily waylaid by a very, very cunning enemy who knows exactly where my weak point is. He knows what your weak point is, friends. He knows what my weak point is. And he knows how to waylay us. He's a past master of it. He's been doing it down through the ages. But you see, we can stand against that if we would take to heart the truths that God has for us to take to heart. If we'll take his word to heart, these truths that we've been looking at. Here it talks about the law of the Lord. Well, I'm grouping this all together. These are truths that God has about himself. Who he is, how he works. We need to lay hold of them. And it will guard our feet from slipping. Isn't that marvellous? And then as we're tying in with that is Psalm 119. Marvellous psalm about God's word, of course. And verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word I have treasured in my heart. Are we treasuring God's word, friends? Is it a treasure to us? If I asked you the question this morning, what do you treasure most in this world? What are you treasuring most in your life at the moment? Is it your iPhone 6? Is it your, or 7 these days, is it? What are we on, 8? I don't know. Is it something else you're treasuring? These things can get a grip of us, can't they? Your iPhone, whatever, can't save you. It can do you no benefit spiritually at all. It may have many uses otherwise, but spiritually it has no use. The only way in which we will be in a position to please God and keep our way pure is keeping it according to God's word and treasuring his word in our heart. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Friends, can I encourage you in the year ahead? If you've been a bit sort of cold towards God's word in the last year, can I ask you, please, repent of that and treasure his word in the year ahead. If you will treasure God's word, if you will expose yourself to it daily, God will transform you. He will enable you to stand in situations you could never stand otherwise. He will build into you something that can't be built into you otherwise. That is the way God is determined to do it in the church. And you can try and find 101 shortcuts to becoming strong as a Christian and as a believer. You won't find them. Because God's not going to make any shortcut for Michael Jenkins or anybody else. Nobody. The way that God has determined that you and I grow strong is treasuring his word. Getting it into our hearts. Feeding on it and living it out. That's the way he has determined to do it. And he won't change it for anybody. I'm sorry to say that. Moving on. It's also understanding and taking to heart these things is a safeguard against pride. Because when we realize it's God who is in this position and God who is going before us and God who is bringing us into the things he's bringing us into, we realize it's nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with us. And we won't take any glory to ourselves. We will give it all to him because he's doing it. And God wanted Israel to know this. God was going to give Israel tremendous, amazing victories. Victories they should never have had, really, naturally speaking. But God gave them to them. And God was doing that, not Israel. And God reminded them that there, didn't he? In that chapter 9, I think it was. It's not because of your righteousness I'm going to do these things. I'm doing it because I love you. I want you to bring you into these things. That's why God is doing it. And it's he that is doing it. And that's a good safeguard against pride rising up in our hearts and thinking, I've done it. How clever I've been, or how clever we've been as a church to do that. Nothing to do with us at all, friends. It's all to do with him. And there was a man in, we won't read this for the sake of time, go and read Acts chapter 12, verse 20, and Herod standing there before the people. And the people said to him, "This is not the voice of a man, this is the voice of a God. This is the voice of a God." He didn't give glory to God. And God struck him down. God struck him down. And he died. And I suspect there's lots of other things wrong with that man as well. But God removed his life. Friends, let's give glory to God. It's God alone who can accomplish anything in your life, in my life, in the life of this assembly. It's only he can do that. And we need to lay a hold of that fact in our heart. It's a safeguard against pride. It's a safeguard against pride. I think we'll move on there. Well, finally, how are we going to take these things to heart? Back to chapter 4, please. How are we going to know these things and take them to heart? Interestingly, almost all these times we read of Moses telling the people to know these things, it was to do with some experience they'd seen or been involved in. So I want to say, for this is an experiential knowledge. This is a knowledge that's to be real to us. It's to be in our hearts. It's not to be something that's just an academic understanding. That will not help us at all. But let's have a look in verse 35 of chapter 4. "To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, he is God, there is no other beside him." To you it was shown. God wants to show us things. Isn't that marvellous? There's no other God can do that. Because there is no other God. It's our God who wants to show us things. He wants to reveal things to us. He wants to reveal himself to us. See, God was constantly wanting to show Israel who he was, how he works. And he wanted them to take it to heart. And to take it to heart, it means be serious about this. This is something serious. Take it to heart. And we say to our children perhaps sometimes, take this to heart. In other words, I'm being serious. Take it to heart. These are not idle words. These are serious words. And we need to take them to heart. So God wants to show us things. He wants to reveal things. And it goes on in this word that Moses was giving to the people. If we read on to chapter 6, we'll see something of the way that was to happen. Let's look at verse 6. Chapter 6 and verse 7 to 9, for example. Verse 6. "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts on your house of your house and on your gates." Now, I'm not suggesting you go home and do that. But the idea is that we are continually exposed to God's word. We're continually exposing ourselves to what God is saying and who he is and how he works. And if we do that, then we will not be taken in by all the lies of the enemy and all the world would have us believe is true about God. We will know our God as he is. But we need to expose ourselves and our children to these things, of course. And they need to get them, we need to get them into our hearts. And it's as we expose ourselves, as we consider them. And that word in verse 39 talks about consider this in your heart. There's another translation. We need to be meditating, considering these things. Not just give it a cursory glance and just move on. Let's stop and consider what God is saying. So when you come to God's word, do you just give it a quick couple of minutes and move on? Give it some time. Ask God, what is he saying? Ask him, pray about it, write it on my heart. I want to believe this. I'm serious, you know. I want to take this to heart. I want to believe this and take it to my heart. And if you do that, God will do it for you. He's looking today for those in whom he can write his word on your heart. Because then you'll be in the place to be used of him. You see, God was more interested in us being people that he wants us to be before we do. Hence, it was often, always in those passages we read, after they had God, Moses said, know these things, that you were to live in a certain type of way. It wasn't, God didn't say to the people, know these things so that you can do this. God was saying, know these things so you can be the people I want you to be. The doing will come after that. We'll be in a place to do the things God wants us to do. In an effective way. Because he is doing something in us. That's God's order, friends. And again, he's not going to change it for me or for you. He's not going to sort of, you become a Christian and then he's going to send you and do things before he does something in you. He wants to get, that doesn't mean to say we're idle and don't do anything, of course, no. But he's more interested in what we are like as a person. And he wants to get a hold of us. So he wants to reveal these things to us. And we need to be exposed constantly to God's word. It needs to be our daily bread. And I don't know what your 2017 was like regarding the word of God. Were you in it constantly? Did you dip in now and again? Did you have sort of spurts? I know we can be a bit like that, can't we? We feel good today, so I'll get into God's word and have a look at it. Oh, I don't feel very good today, I'll give it a miss. That's the time to get into God's word, friends. When you don't feel like it, get before him. Cry out to him. Get into his word. And he'll change your demeanor. He's able to do that, friends. And then finally, a word that came up a couple of times in those passages, back to 4 verse 39, and we'll finish with this. In 4 verse 39, know therefore today. 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 God does not want us to put off us knowing these things. He doesn't want us to delay. Because who knows what's around the corner? Who knows what you and I have to face tomorrow? And therefore we are to know today who he is. We are to have that relationship knowledge of him now. So friends, can I encourage you, if you've forgotten everything else I've said this morning, can I encourage you to set your heart and your mind on knowing him in the year ahead. To give yourself fully to his word. Do it today, friends. Determine in your heart today to do that. And if you determine in your heart today to do that, God will give you all the help you need to do it. He isn't going to stand by and say, come on, you've determined to do this, now get on with it. No. He will come alongside. He wants to help you. He wants to help you to know, because he wants more than anything else of people in this day who know him. Know his true position, his true power, his true person. All these things can be known. We have a God unlike any other God, friends. A God who reveals himself. Blessed be his name. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you that you're a God who can be known. And the truth that you want us to know in our heart, you are so longing and wanting to give them to us. Now, Lord, we pray that you will put us in that place, get us in that place whereby we are exposing ourselves constantly to your word, to your heart, to your mind. And we pray that in the year ahead, we would so take these things to heart and they would be a living knowledge of them in us. Not just that academic, but that true knowledge of who you are, of the way that you operate, of your power and your person. Lord, we want to know these things in an ever deeper way. Would you write them on our hearts, we pray, so that we can be a people that is different, set apart to you, a people that can be used of God, and a people that can lay hold of everything that you have for us in the year ahead. Father, we want to ask you to help us to do that, we pray. Amen.